Blog Talk Radio.
Absolutely blessed.
Man, I'm excited today. We're going to be going through the book of Psalms in our telecast today, and I'm excited. We're on Psalms 1 going into it. But first, we got to show some love for our family. So I'm going to start it off. I want to give a shout out to my beautiful wife, Shanice, my beautiful children, CJ, Kajanique, Jalen, Tyreek, baby Ian, and baby Tajanae, which is on the way. And I thank God for all of my children and my beautiful wife, because without her and without them, none of this will be possible. And, of course, big up to our Father and our Savior, Lord and Jesus Christ, which is the head of my life, period. Man, follow us on Facebook at The Psalmist Voice. And you can also follow us on Twitter, The Psalmist C, also Instagram, The Psalmist Voice. And you can follow us now on the Block Talk Radio Network, which is blocktalkradio.com/ The Psalmist Voice Reloaded. And we're also debuting on the Men Let's Talk Network, 347-843-4559. We'll be debuting this week, I believe, this Tuesday and Thursday, on a three-hour show with our brother, Dr. Kevin Vaughn, all the way out in Atlanta, Georgia. We're teaming up with the Mentalist Talk Network and the Psalmist Voice Network to get the message of Jesus Christ across in our own unique way. I know you got shout-outs, my brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. First, I'd like to give honor to God, His Son, and His Holy Spirit, which are not only the head of my life, but the anchor and the example in which I strive to be. I'd like to thank God for my beautiful wife, Jashika Williams, my six beautiful children, not just the family I was born with, but the family I was born again with. I ask our Heavenly Father to continue to bless us in those things as well. And, of course, to you and for Sister Shanice, we give blessings too. And, absolutely, man. God has been good to my mother and my sister, whom I ask Him to continue to keep a hedge of protection and a hand of healing over in their physical traumas. But God has continued to be good. Yeah, yeah.
That He is.
Absolutely.
That He is. He continues to be good, man. Man, we're in a season of restoration, justification, renewal, revitalization. And when you're walking with Jesus Christ, and the one thing that I'm continuously learning, that you're constantly growing, and the more you evolve, the more you have to stay humble, the more you have to ask God to give you godly counsel, to give you godly advice. And a lot of times we allow our flesh to step in, we get all emotional, and we allow things to hinder us from what God has called us to do. Now, if you're going through a lot of hell and high water, ladies and gentlemen, that's because God's got a purpose in your life, and everything that comes against you is not an attack against you personally. The kingdom of darkness does not want you to go forth in your call or in your purpose or in your destiny for God. So please stay in prayer. Ask God to give you godly counsel that will encourage you, motivate you, and want you to continue this walk, this good fight of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Man, Psalms 1, I've been reading all this morning, and of course, you know, as I was reading, God dropped five ways of production and motivation in Psalms 1. That will be the five ways on today's broadcast. And, of course, I'll just give my breakdown as I always do. This is what God has gave me in my spirit, and this is kind of a psalmist mashup, so to speak, of what we're going to be talking about. But it goes a little something like this. Our spiritual man lives on God's word. Because the word of God creates our spiritual life, the hunger of righteousness comes from the word. If you don't feel hungry, sit down with the word and watch how God renews your appetite. It's steps, family. It takes steps. It's not a process. It ain't microwaved. It's not going to happen overnight. But prayer, investing time around people who will make you hungry for God, is the key. That is the TPB breakdown and my little mashup on Psalms 1. But, of course, we're going to break it down and get right into the nitty-gritty. So, of course, I call my brother the professor of the theological seminary, because this brother can break it down to the break it down. And I'm going to let him start it off today. And, of course, I'll top it off with the five ways of production and motivation in Psalms 1. That's the five steps on today. So, Mr. Siron, I know you got some deep nuggets and knowledge to give the family, and I'm going to let you start it off, and then I will go ahead and break it down with the five ways.
Okay. Here's one of the things I've come to realize. One of the aspects of being a psalmist is understanding that there will be times where our disobedience will get in the way of what we're doing for God, and when the wicked will try to stand in our way. But then there are also those times where God will give us things that shape us, mold us, and it'll be very, very difficult for us, because our flesh still wars against our spirit. Our spirit still wars against our flesh. And when we look at Psalms 1, and we think about it, God has definitely given us a reminder of what he says makes us blessed and what we should do to maintain those blessings. You know, stay away from people who would counsel you into doing things that have nothing to do with what God is telling us to do. Don't follow them. When we delight in what God is telling us and we meditate on his word, we'll be like that tree. You know, a tree that's planted in the desert, hey, I tell you what, if it had other trees around it, it would lose some of that precious moisture that it needs from those deep roots. And if a tree in the desert roots aren't deep enough, it'll surely die. But if you're a tree that's planted by the water, the soil is saturated with what you need, just like God's word. And, you know, in Psalms 1, Verse 4, it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They don't even get to stick around long. You know, we who are deep-rooted and planted by the water, strengthened, when the wind blow, we just go with the wind, brother. We go with the wind.
Yes, sir. So just like a dry land with dry crops, you just blow away, man. And we just can't do that, man. Like, you know, we got to be able to get out of the church mentality and be able to hold each other up. And of course, you know, I'm not knocking the church. Don't get me wrong. The church is somewhere where we need to go and to fellowship and to, you know, get ministered to and so forth. But it's also a hospital as well. Now, once you go to the hospital and you receive your treatment, you get your healing. Now, of course, you get admitted out. So when you're getting admitted out of the hospital, it is our job to continue our health so we don't go back to the hospital. Now, am I saying don't go back to the church? That's not what I'm saying. But we should be able to be so self-sufficient that we should be able to continue to grow in God in spite of. So, for example, we can even bring it practical. We go into the hospital. We're diagnosed with an ailment. And we're, oh, my God, what are we going to do? We're panicking. So, therefore, the hospital, we go to the hospital or the church. We go, receive our healing. We can receive our instructions on treatment, what we need to do to treat that thing. And then once we get those treatments and we stay for whatever amount of time we need to stay, we're dismissed out of the hospital and we move on. And, and once we get out of the hospital, it is our job to maintain that healthy status so we don't continue to be relapsing over and over and over again. And that's why it's essential to have strong men and women of God that are God sent to you and be able to challenge your very Christianism. I made up a word, Christianism.
Yes.
And being able to sharpen, iron sharpens iron. Yes, that's a cliche, but it's a fact, man. I mean, for someone to help you grow, as I stated on the breakdown, man, you have to be surrounded by people that's going to want you to hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God. And to not continue to run to the first person that sounds biblically correct or sound, but be able to seek God first, then ask for confirmation and ask God to send you confirmation. And God will always send you confirmation in many ways. And he always sends confirmation in threes. And a lot of times as human beings, a lot of things don't make sense. Oh, this don't make sense. Why this is doing well? The Lord we serve, the God we serve, Jesus Christ whom we serve, he doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. And his logic is not our logic. His ways are not our ways. But, of course, as we continue to get smarter, we try to be as smart as or try to outthink what God has for our lives. But, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord has a funny way of slapping you right down to humbleness.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, one of the things I've found by reading Psalms and engaging in ministry in the service of the Lord is that your circumstances don't dictate whether God will use you or not.
That's right.
And that's part of that, Lord, help me through this trial. Father, is this you or an attack of the enemy? Ask him, you know, what am I doing? How do you want me to do it? Don't ask you why. Why don't make a difference? Lord, why is this happening? It don't matter why it's happening. What matters is what comes out of it happening.
That's right.
You know, my sister, as for an example, is in a hospital, cancer right now. I had an opportunity to fulfill an obligation that God gave me to a young man who's legally blind, needed to get to a whole nother city so that he could get home. Now, I could choose to go to Detroit, where my sister's at in the hospital, or do the work God has for me. Flesh says, go see your sister. Hug, kiss, spend time with her. The spirit says, you can't help her. You can't heal her. The doctors can only heal her if God permits it. So, do what God says in your obedience. God may answer your prayer. Doesn't guarantee it. But he's faithful to those who are faithful to him. He encourages those who set aside their own desires to serve him. And that's going to be what the beautiful thing we learn as we walk through the book of Psalms is that the ups and downs that the psalmist is facing is not as bad as it seems because God is glorified and the psalmist is strengthened and encouraged to the end.
Amen. And, you know, that's one thing that I can honestly embrace now. The fact that God has given me the name psalmist, it means so much more than singing. You know, it's allowing to give God absolute praise in spite of. And, you know, as you said, the psalmist road is not easy. And the Psalms is speaking of David, and, you know, I told this story a few times before about when I was in church, one of the prophets came and they said, "You have a spirit of David. You're like the modern day David." Now, of course, I'm like, okay, what does that mean? And of course, brother, we talked about that briefly, and it doesn't mean that I'm going to be going and slaying 10,000s of people in the war and all that stuff, and I'm not going to go slay Goliath in the field with my three stones. But if we break it down metaphorically, as far as spiritually, that's how it is. You're going to face your wars, you're going to face your armies, and you're going to face your giants. But the one thing you have to understand that if you are after God's own heart, he will never leave you or forsake you, in spite of the left or the right turn you might do. And that's why I love my father so much, because regardless of how stubborn Christopher was, he always threw me right back to the path I needed to be on, because he knew exactly what I'm supposed to do. He knows exactly what the destiny is for me and his people. And I say his people because what I'm doing is not for Christopher. It's for his people. So that's the awesome thing about just being in ministry. It's for the people, man. And that's what it's about. And if God blesses your finances and you're able to expand your territory and do more things, it's to bless more people. Because God will return it to you 100-fold. It's not to keep it so you can stay in your nice 3-story house and all that. We're getting off topic, but I think it's irrelevant. And, you know, we're too busy building churches instead of building people. And the people are the church. So the ways of the righteous and the end of the ungodly, when is that going to end if we too busy building mega $2 million facilities instead of building $2 million souls in the kingdom?
Yes. I am so agreeing with you, brother.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it can sound whatever it sounds, but that's the truth, man. We're losing this battle. Just like the topic you just brought up about the gay and lesbian community and how they can get together from a tragedy and raise millions of dollars for a tragedy. And God knows what else that they raise just in that community alone. But the kingdom of God, we're making millions of dollars a year in all of our fancy facilities. But if a man or woman of God has a call and a purpose on their life, you can't even get a donation or can't even get a startup to get help to get that ministry evolving, because everybody's on doing their own thing. And that's wrong. And if we all believe in the same God, have the same Holy Spirit that walks within all of us, you're going to be able to discern a hustler or someone that's really truly called and purposed to do a will of God. God will talk to you. But we got so caught up in our ego that it's the pop, that we forgot. We're not listening to the voice of God anymore. We're listening to our own intellect, and that's a problem. That's a big problem.
Absolutely. You see, like right now, more people are interested in the kind of ministry where all they get to do is play lip service. Right now, I'm at a food pantry. Mm-hmm. You know, I could be concerned again with the health of my sister and my mother, but instead I'm concerned with the health of the community and those who are in need of extra groceries, extra love. And God is ever faithful in blessing others. And that's who we are. One of the most wonderful things about David is that he made God's kingdom prosperous by what he did. Even in his wrongs, he did things right. And that's who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to be, to do what God has called us to do. That's to be reconciled to him through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and then to take those things, that grace and mercy that we have been granted, and extend it to others.
Yes, sir.
So I just thank God for that. And who he is and what he is indeed a blessing to all.
Yes, he is. But of course, Of course, we're going to break it down even further. So I'm going to give you, family, the five ways of production and motivation in Psalms 1. Here we go. Number one, the filling of the Holy Spirit, or the abiding life, which is tip number one for your production and motivation. It comes out of John 15:1-7 and Galatians 5:22-23. And of course, for sake of time, I'll just read you the verses and you can do your homework once the broadcast is ended. Number two, one's level of maturity. This is number two, five ways of production and motivation in Psalm 1, one's level of maturity. 1 John 2:12-13, Hebrews 5:11-13. Number three, one's particular gifts. That's coming out of 1 Peter 4:10-12. And number four, God's own special blessings and uses our gifts. God owns special blessings and uses our gifts, coming out of 1 Colossians 3:6-7. And number five, the conditions in which we live, the preparedness of the soil. Let me read that again. The conditions in which we labor, the preparedness of the soil, which our soil is us. Our soil is our spiritual man. Coming out of Mark 4:14-20 and John 4:37-38. And those are the five ways of production and motivation in Psalms 1. You can actually re-listen to the broadcast if you missed the verses, and you can definitely do your homework on each point so you can see that I am biblically following what God's word says, not what the philosophy in the sermon.
Amen. Amen.
The sermon from Chris Newton.
Right, right. Brother. Right now, I am at a place that is called Jehovah Jireh Ministries. Listeners, we would like for you to continue to lift this ministry up in prayer. You know, as he speaks of preparedness, of being able to walk out our Christian lives, one of the things that we can do that Christ did was when he fed the masses, he says, "They have tarried with me all day. Let's feed them." They're long, some of them are a long way home, and they may not make it because they'll be faint in body because they haven't eaten in all this time. So God recognizes our spiritual bodies must be fed and our physical bodies must be fed. And without the types of ministries such as Jehovah Jireh food ministries, many families will not have a lot of the hope that they have. And those who come in and volunteer here to make sure that the community can enjoy these meals, it's a speaking aspect of who we should be as Christ, to give of ourselves so that others may have, because Christ gave of himself so that we may have. God gave of himself through Christ so that we may have. And so that is the one thing that I am so ecstatic about, is that each of us as children of God have an opportunity to be as big a blessing as we have received, brother. And that's why the psalmist's voice, you speak for those who don't normally have a voice, who allow those whose words may never be heard to be spoken out loud. And so glory be to God through this. And yes, go back and re-listen to the broadcast. Get those 5 points, because those 5 points can save your life.
Yes, yes. And I thank God for that, because the one thing about Christopher Newton, the man, this whole psalmist journey is definitely a growth in progress. I never was the type, and I know you can agree, Minister Siron, that I've never been the one to be boastful at anything. But I've also had to understand that it's time for me to grow up. And God has given me something that people are going to hear. People need to hear a voice. And I take great responsibility in that. I don't take this lightly at all, because I know that God has a season for the Psalmist Voice, the Psalmist Voice Network, and also the Men Let's Talk Network. We're in a season where people want to hear the truth. Mm-hmm. They don't want to hear cosmetically word philosophies and breakdowns on awesome dialects and rhetoric. They need to hear something plain to the point, and what they're able to come down. And we got to come down. It's okay to be educated. It's okay to learn. It's okay to be always evolving in the Word of God and breaking it down. But, man, most of the people that come to your congregations don't understand all that. That's why you have Bible study. Bible study is set up for the more mature saints. Then you can talk about the Greek and Hebrew and break it down and use all of the extra nice icing words and all that stuff. But when you're coming up on a sermon and you're preaching to the people of God, man, we got to break it down simple, man. We can't be getting all super deep, because most of the people that are coming in the congregation are the people you need to engage with, not the people that's been there every Sunday. But I mean, you know, that's my take on it. I mean, of course, that's my opinion. But, you know, of course, we have a lot of different opinions on that matter. But I mean, that's what it is, man. You know, and I mean, even with the Lord's Supper, you know, you have to come to the table, you know, and, you know, you can't look at it as just a wafer and a shot glass, you know. I mean, you know. you have to have eyes of faith, and you have to see through the things the Lord Jesus Christ has for your soul, man. The bread is life, and the living water, the blood, quickens our hearts. So pretty much, man, communion is a short thing, man, for us to remember the sacrifice that Jesus Christ had in our history, and as our vindicator and as our biggest cheerleader, you know, Jesus Christ, we definitely have to give homage and big up to when we do have the Lord's Supper. But it, I mean, it's not just on a ceremonial type first Sunday basis. We ought to give thanks every day, man. You know, that's just it. But man, we are out of time already. We got two.
Wow.
we got 2 minutes left on the show, Brother Salam. But do you have any closing thoughts for the broadcast on today?
Just this. If you seek to know who God truly is, you must first give service. You must first take time out of your day to be who God has called you to be. And may our Heavenly Father bless and keep each of you strengthened and encouraged.
Yes, sir. And as always, family, tune in tomorrow at 6 a.m. on the Psalmist Voice Radio Network. It's the Psalmist Voice Reloaded. You can listen in at 773-897-6490. You can listen in or listen in online at blogtalkradio.com/the Psalmist Voice Reloaded. So, for the Professor Zyron Williams and myself, the Psalmist Voice, we bless you. We thank you for tuning in on this telecast on today, and we will see you tomorrow morning with our continuation of the Book of Psalms. And family, always remember, you are more than you think and greater than you heard. Let's walk this walk out, family. I'll see you tomorrow morning. Walk with us, family, every Saturday and Sunday, and we're going to be on Tuesdays and Thursdays starting next week. The Psalmist Voice Reloaded, and we'll be on the Men Let's Talk Network. Walk with us, family. God bless you. Let's go.